In these daily programs, we're conducting an investigation into the great questions of life and death as seen by the Bible. If you've been following the discussion so far, you will by now certainly have sensed the drift of our thinking. It appears to us that the Bible is quite clear about the state of man when he dies. A great mass of texts in the Old Testament leave us in no doubt whatsoever that when man dies, he goes to a place called Sheol in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And in Sheol, or Hades, there is absolutely no activity, no praising God, no working, and no thinking. In fact, no knowledge at all. Ecclesiastes 9:5 is a no-nonsense description of man in death. That verse simply says that the dead do not know anything at all. Another Old Testament saint made an equally unambiguous statement about what happens when we die. He said that Sheol, the place where all the dead are, cannot thank God, death cannot praise God, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for God's faithfulness. It is the living who thank God. You will find that quotation in Isaiah 38, verses 18 and 19. There really is nothing difficult about the theology of those verses. It's obvious that when death strikes, a person has passed out of consciousness and from then on knows nothing of the passage of time. This is because there's no such thing in the Bible as an immortal soul that goes marching on after we die. Does this lead us to despair then? Absolutely not, because God has something in mind for us, and that tremendous prize is the promise of resurrection. Resurrection of the whole man from the sleep of death is really what the Bible is all about. Now, the Old Testament saints shared in the hope of resurrection. In Psalm 16, verse 10, David, the king of Israel, knew that God would not leave him forever in Sheol, or the world of the dead. And in Psalm 49, verse 15, he was positive that God, as he said, would redeem him from the power of Sheol. It wasn't that David thought he would escape going to Sheol, or Hades, the world of the dead. There was no way of bypassing his descent into the grave. What David did have faith in, however, was a rescue operation that God had planned. He knew that God had promised to pull him out of the state of death and restore him once again to life, and this time to life forever. It's important to follow the career of David carefully. The Old Testament tells us that he died and slept with his ancestors. Certainly there's not a shred of evidence that David went to heaven to be with God. In fact, when the Apostle Peter delivered his epoch-making sermon at Pentecost, he confirmed the fact that David was still dead and buried. Let me give you that portion of Peter's sermon which brought us up to date with God's dealings with David so far. Speaking in about A.D. 30, Peter said this to his Jewish compatriots, and I quote, "Let me tell you frankly about the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. David did not ascend into heaven." These words are found in Acts 2, verses 29 and 34. There's a wonderful harmony here between what is said in the Old Testament about the state of the dead and Peter's clear testimony to the condition of David. We have the facts about the state of David in death in around 30 AD, about 1,000 years after he had died. It's critically important to notice that David had done nothing in those 1,000 years but remained safely and soundly buried in a tomb which still existed. You will remember that Peter's classic address here introduced the great new fact that Jesus, as distinct from David, had been brought to life again from the grave. Talk about good news! The TV cameras, had they been available, would certainly have been churning out film by the reel on that extraordinary day in human history. A man had returned from the grave. He had been thoroughly dead for some 3 days, and suddenly his tomb was found empty. Roman soldiers had been guarding the tomb. They certainly could not explain the mystery of the disappearing corpse. The very thing which the Roman governor Pilate had feared had happened. Pilate had taken every precaution to guard against the fraud which he thought the disciples would pull off. At all costs, he was going to stop any theft of the body which could allow the disciples to fool the people with a legend about Jesus being alive after death. But when the divine plan goes into action, none of man's little projects can stop it. An angel rolled back the stone which blocked the entrance to Jesus' tomb, and out walked the late Messiah, equipped now with a body that was no longer subject to death. A re-crucifixion would have been quite impossible. How did Peter know all this? The answer is quite simple. He really did not need much faith, because as he says himself in Acts 10, verse 41, "We had meals with Jesus after he came back from the dead. The story is quite clear, and based on the solid evidence of eyewitnesses, without that resurrection of Jesus, there would have been no Christian faith. The whole thing would have been a disastrous failure, a scam of the worst type. Now, we either accept the witness of the apostles or we don't. There's no halfway position when it comes to the resurrection. Either Jesus stepped out alive from that tomb or he did not. If he did not, then all the Christians who have died up to now have perished forever. They have simply ceased to be. But, Paul says in his famous chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, if God has already demonstrated resurrection by bringing Jesus back from the dead, then he can do the same for you. That is the essence of the Christian faith. Resurrection is the only way to escape losing your life permanently. And resurrection is the only way your existence can be maintained permanently. So Jesus cries out to us, I came that they might have life. That's to say, continued existence, preservation from inevitable death by being raised from the dead. Here we have the solution to the great mystery of death, and indeed the mystery of human existence. Faith in Jesus and in his gospel message about the kingdom of God and in resurrection from the dead is the only way to ensure for ourselves a permanent share in life. Without resurrection, we are doomed, all of us. We are doomed because all of us have sinned. And the wages of sin means death, which is the absence of life. Now let's go back to the case of David. Peter, in that inspired address at Pentecost, made it entirely clear that David, king of Israel, the ancestor of Jesus, was still dead and buried 1,000 years after his death. There's perfect agreement between Peter and Paul on these great questions of life and death. Let's look at the record of a sermon given by Paul in Antioch during his first missionary journey. You will find the account in Acts chapter 13. In verse 34, Paul makes his central point about Jesus. God, he says, raised up Jesus from the dead so that he would never again return to decay. This is what David had predicted 1,000 years earlier when he wrote in the Psalms that God would not allow his Holy One, his Messiah, to undergo decay. Then Paul tells us about what happened to David. David, says Paul, served the counsel of God in his generation and fell asleep and was buried among his ancestors and underwent decay. Acts 13, verse 36. So you see, there's no question about where David is. In about AD 45, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, David was still dead and buried. He was in his tomb. There's not a word in the New Testament about any change of condition for David or other Old Testament saints. They were simply dead, awaiting the resurrection. And today as we speak, they are still dead, pending the resurrection. Do you see how beautifully this harmonizes with the insight given to Job? Listen again to Job's understanding of the meaning of death and the afterlife. In Job 14, verses 12 and 14, we read, man lies down to sleep and does not rise until the heavens are no more. Men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service I will await for my revival to come. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. I was looking this morning at the Standard Lexicon of the Old Testament, the famous tome by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, well known to students of the Bible. According to this source, Job expected to lie in the sleep of death until his revival came, or his renewal. The Greek version of the Old Testament speaks of Job waiting in the sleep of death until he exists again. That is the meaning of resurrection. It means arising from the sleep of death, coming into existence once more. Did you know that 70 times in the New Testament, the word for raising the dead is the ordinary word for waking someone up from sleep? Check it for yourself and discover this most important truth about the state of the dead. To raise someone from the dead is to wake them from sleep at the resurrection. It may be that some of the material we're presenting is new to you. We invite you to write for some free literature so that you can examine these important issues for yourself. Contact us at the telephone number given at the end of this broadcast. Meanwhile, we invite you to join us again tomorrow as we cast our searchlight on the Bible in pursuit of the great questions about life and death. Until then, may God bless you in your pursuit of truth.